We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 75. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Amory from mytakeontv.com. And I didn't interrupt because I was too worried about the chocolate I just spilled on my carpet.
Sorry. Maybe if you didn't crush up your M&Ms and snort them, this would be
maybe. Anyway. Hello.
Hi.
So how is everybody?
Like a billion years.
I just talked to Jason last week, so.
If I had $1 million, I'd buy you a house. Anyway.
Not a spoiler for later in the podcast.
It is a spoiler. It is a spoiler. Spoiler alert, I'm going to be singing. Anyway.
Oh, God. I meant the topic of conversation come up in a few minutes. Yes, it has been a long time for the podcast.
Yes.
This is summertime, people. Come on.
It's the summertime. It's the summertime. Do you remember?
We're back.
When you caught my eye.
And we've got...
And Emery's singing the Nuke is on the Block.
And we've actually, to preview just a little bit, we actually have tentatively scheduled to record the next 6 weeks or the next 5 weeks after this.
We've actually made a plan.
That's what Jason thinks.
Yeah. I said tentatively.
I'm sure we will. Although I plan to take a long weekend in there, so that might bungle things up. But...
And you know, I have to go to Europe or whatever.
Paris. Mm-hmm. All right.
Anyway.
Somewhere in those, we'll be doing our fall preview episodes.
Oh, is TV coming back?
Apparently. Did it ever go away?
Not really. That's what I meant.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So here's the news. And are you freaking kidding me, news? TBS orders 90 episodes of the television series Are We There Yet? 90, putting their immediate total at 100 episodes already. They already have 100.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing they did with the Tyler Perry shows.
Yeah, that's why the Tyler Perry shows are on 6 times a week, 5 times a night. Like,
I think the first one they ordered like 100 up front, like before anything was ever
That's
aired.
So they can resell them.
I guess. Wow. Good
Meanwhile,
job, Ice.
My Boys is... finishing up a 9-episode season.
Yeah. Anyway. Also, Sci-Fi has picked up the 3rd season of Merlin to air in early 2011. And I'm hearing rumors that Eureka is getting a 5th season, but nothing is confirmed. Their ratings are on par with what they were last year, so I don't see why it wouldn't. And I think that they're very creative. They have a good season going now. I think that it would be kind of dumb for them to cancel it. So
that would be weird to me.
Yeah. So that's that. We've been gone for about 18 weeks, and that's our news.
That's all the news.
So.
You know all the rest of the news by this point.
Yeah. If we were
you
like.
You could inform us even better than we could tell you.
You could.
That's the newest news.
So, yeah, that's that. That's the news.
Okay.
Exciting.
And since we haven't been podcasting in a while, and we've been doing various things over the summer, we thought we'd do, you know, like when you used to go back to school, first day, everybody go around saying what you did over the summer, and hopefully you had something to tell. That's what I thought we could do is...
I feel like my stories and I would tell stories in elementary school were always really stupid. I don't know. I just feel like they were... And now I'm really upset that my parents never took me anywhere fancy, like, I don't know.
You never had a big family vacation to talk about when you got back?
Oh, I always did, but it was always we went to New Jersey. We traveled 1.5 hours to go to the beach. The dirty beach.
Did you hang out with the situation?
Oh, God. No. You know what? The situation was probably on the beach when I was. When we were little. He was probably there.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he wasn't. Situation then. He was on his way to being unstable.
Well, the question is, how old is the situation? Because
he's a little older than I am. Mm. Not a lot.
He is?
Yeah. I know! Makes it worse! It makes it worse! Oh my god. Anyway.
Well, I was going to say, maybe back then his parents were viewing him as the situation.
What? All right, I'm going to just ignore Jason's lame joke. Let's stop talking about Amory's old summer.
Yeah, and talk about what we did this summer.
Exactly. All right, who wants to start? Because I'm not sure what we're talking about.
We're talking about what we did this summer.
Comic-Con!
You know the okay, everybody get their iPhone out. You know the robot sound? The robot sound it can make when you want like an alarm set? That robot's saying Comic-Con.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
You're going to investigate it later. I know you are. Okay. Comic-Con 2010. Here's how it went. Drinking. Those were the six nights I spent in San Diego.
As promised, is lush. Did we not tell you guys this?
As I promised on our last podcast. And Ray, back me up. Did I not have a giant bag of Skittles?
Amory had a giant bag of Skittles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
She did not, however, bring the vodka to put the Skittles in, like I suggested.
I didn't bring the vodka. I didn't need to bring it.
That's true. You didn't ask for a bottle of vodka, though, so that you could make your Skittles vodka treats.
Vodka treats. Mix a whiskey drink. He makes a vodka drink. Anyway, Comic-Con 2010. Well, remember, it was my fifth anniversary of Comic-Con, so I was celebrating. So
that's right. You were celebrating the...
Is that what it was?
It was. So, are we going day by day? Day by day. Sure. You guys knew I wanted to do that, right? Day by day. If you have not seen Wet Hot American Summer, go see it now. I mean, it's not in the movie theaters. It's on DVD. It has been for like 10 years. But... Okay.
See it now.
Netflix it.
Go see it now. Somebody's going to the movie theater. I really want to see that movie.
Where's that movie Amory was talking about? All right. We're being stupid now.
Okay. What are we doing? Day by day?
Yes.
Sure. Why not?
So we got right, there on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we did nothing related to Comic-Con, but we did go to Barbie. I had Pinkberry, and I keep telling this story because I think it's hysterical. Pinkberry has a watermelon flavor, for those of you who don't speak watermelon. So I go and I order
you
it.
Don't speak keep watermelon? Is that what you just said?
Yeah. Keep in mind, the only thing that has melon in it at all, when I get to the counter at Pinkberry, I say, I'll have a small watermelon. And the lady looked at me like I had just shot someone. Like, excuse me? And so I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'll have a small watermelon. And then she's like, okay, great. I mean, come on.
You're making me regret that I never went and tried the watermelon.
It's right, so anyway. Good. It's really good. I had it again in New York. Okay.
I like that everything that Amory remembers revolves around something she drank or consumed. Sorry.
The watermelon then, Pinkberry was pretty good.
It was really good.
She so then, follows up with her story about going to Bar Basic.
Then we went to Bar Basic, you guys. Then we did. And we went to my favorite place on the planet, Bar Basic San Diego. Maybe they'll sponsor us. Bar Basic.
I'm going to say you got a salad.
I did. You were there.
That's
I got
how
a
I know.
Salad. Oh, Jesus, man, it was amazing. And then we got the wrong pizza, but we ate
we
it anyway.
The wrong pizza.
Like, literally, not like they made us the wrong pizza, but that the person brought us the wrong pizza. So we ate it anyway.
The table behind us,
yeah.
We got their pizza.
Whatever. It was good.
We got a free topping, so, you know.
And I got that amazing lemonade tea drink.
Yeah.
It was really good. It complemented my salad quite well. And we hung out with Kurt a little bit. Hey, Kurt! And then we went to a little shindig. We went to a rooftop party.
We went to a rooftop party. Sadly,
and
we had to provide our own drinks
and
this time.
Will, and Janie Will, hey! And
Kyle? And, Hi, Kyle?
Yeah,
Kyle, we finally met Kyle? Yay! I feel bad because I didn't talk to Kyle much, but next time we...
Kyle, who left right before Aaron Douglas from Battlestar Galactica came over and talked to us.
I didn't talk to him.
Kyle, are you a big Battlestar person? Like, you're here to answer me, right? Is he a big Battlestar person? Would he have cared about meeting Aaron
know.
Douglas?
I don't know. But would anybody really care about meeting Aaron Douglas?
I wasn't going to be that harsh, but...
I'll tell you who cares about it. Aaron Douglas does. Now, here's the thing.
No, but he was...
A bunch of other people there.
He was pretty funny when he got a few drinks in it.
So was I. Whatever. Who else was there? Lots of people. You know who you were. We met Han finally. Marissa was there. Bunch of people.
They don't listen. Susie Q Jenny was there, of course.
Yeah, yes. Love seeing her.
Sandy and Eric from Dame's
TV.
Oh,
Sandy and Eric. They're great. Love them. And there's a bunch of people.
Sandy and Eric stayed at our hotel, so we saw them a lot.
Yes,
actually.
Saw them a lot. Oftentimes we were just sitting in a chair and I was like, oh my God, I'm sick of walking. And then Sandy and Eric were like, oh, hey guys. It happened a couple times. That was Wednesday. Thank God we were right across the street because even though I didn't have much to drink, I had enough to drink. So that was Wednesday. Thursday. So
did you want us to deny that?
No, not at all.
You stopped. Thursday. Were like, hey, should be saying something.
What did everybody do
Thursday?
That
was Wednesday. I only did the USA stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I went to Ballroom 20 in the afternoon. What did we do in the morning? Really, we didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything.
Huh.
We went to get our passes.
No, we did that the night before.
Didn't?
Yeah, we did. Because remember, we did it really fast.
That was like after pizza and before the rooftop party.
After pizza and before the party. Okay. The days are all running together. Thursday, we did...
I don't remember what we did in the morning. Nothing, I guess.
I think I slept in on Thursday, because there was nothing until, like, noon or whatever. And
agreed.
Then I went to the Burn Notice panel. And then
I didn't do any panels on Thursday.
I went to the Burn Notice panel and then left and
I
did
know,
all the USA Network press rooms for Burn Notice, White Collar, and Psych.
I didn't do that. I went to all of the USA panels and then went to the Psych press room.
I went to the Burn Notice press room. Then I went to, what did I do instead? The Showtime Anti-Heroes press room. I didn't really get to talk to anybody, but I got to see some people, so that was cool. Then I went back for the Psych press room. And I love those Psych people. Those Psych writers are some of my favorite people in the world. Andy Berman. What a great conversation we had with Andy Berman.
'Tis true.
Great conversation. It was like we were just hanging out with an old friend. That's what it felt like. And his girlfriend.
As a spoiler alert, that was the one small disappointment of our set visit that Ray and I were on, is we didn't get to talk to
love him
Andy Berman, even though he was the writer on set that last week.
That's a little preview for what's coming up later. So then, what did we learn in anything? Oh, I had a moment with Chris Vance. Chris Vance and I fell madly in love.
Does he know?
And then
I don't think I.
I was going to say, what did we learn? We learned that.
Nothing. First, I will just say
that. We learned about. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm good.
I was just going to say that I enjoyed all three of the USA panels more so than I thought I would. In fact, they always have the best. Like little video things, like that they put together just for Comic-Con. And then, of course, neither one of you were there for this, but James Rhodey and Dulé Hill sang Shout with Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears. So that was
spoiler
pretty cool.
Alert.
And how's that a spoiler alert? I'm telling you about it now.
No, I was going to say that Kurt Smith, never mind, you'll get mad at me.
Oh, I know that.
Kurt Smith is going to be on Psych.
That would have counted in our news, and we didn't cover it, so I don't think it's a spoiler alert.
Whatever.
Anyway, then Dulé Hill and, oh my God, blanking on his
Jason
name.
Jason
right?
Something?
Samuel Smith. I don't know if Jason is his first name. Is that the correct? Jason
something Samuel Smith.
Whatever. Came out and did a tap-off with Dulé, so that was kind of cool. I mean, I think the White Collars video was the best video, but Psych had the best live entertainment. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that since I did go to all of those and I enjoyed them.
Cool.
Plus they gave away free t-shirts and, you know, gotta love that.
Oh yeah, was that the day we took the 87 mile walk to the...
It is the day we took the 87 mile walk. I said 300 mile, for the record.
Wow. Well, it's gotten shorter.
They almost couldn't have put the, what do you call it, the redemption room or whatever, fulfillment room.
Redemption room. Go here to be redeemed.
Well, you redeem your ticket that you gave you, they gave you to get a t-shirt or whatever.
I get
you. And they fulfill that agreement by giving you the t-shirt.
Right.
No, but they, yeah, that pretty much couldn't have been any farther away, I don't think. And not, you know, unless they would have, you know, put it in a hotel in the, in Mission Valley or something.
Down Mexico way.
It was really far away. Here's what it taught me. It taught me that I've always wanted to stay in that Marriott. Now I have no desire to stay in that Marriott.
Because it weaves you around and around and all over the place.
Yeah. So then, after that, we were done. What did we do? Did we eat dinner? No. I'm trying to process. Then we went to the CBS Fandemonium EW party, because Ray and I RCP'd and we're the top 100 for Michael Osceola's list.
Which, if you know us, you realize how ridiculous that is.
Yeah. It really is.
But if you, but you know what? We RCP'd, so we got it.
Yeah, whatever. We got to see some of our pals, Mel and what, Liz? I don't want to say, Beth Ann? I don't know which name to use. No, so, it makes it sound like I don't know who they are. I know who they are, but I don't know what name they'd want me to use. And
they use different names on their websites, on their different websites. They have multiple.
Free drinks. And free Twizzlers and free popcorn. And then we randomly ran into Susan and Mark and they were like, hey, did you RSVP? And she rolled her eyes at us because we RSVP'd. And we're like, yeah, we did.
They were there because the cast of Big Bang was there.
Right. They didn't RSVP. Let's get that right.
I met Chad Darnell, who, if you have ever taken part in 12 of 12 online, which I'm sure none of you have, he's the guy who started that. But I've known him for a long time, so. And he was there with girl from NCIS.
Heather?
What's her name?
Amanda? Paul. Heather? Amanda? Oh, Polly, perhaps.
No, he was talking. He was with Amanda from Lifetime, but he was there with Polly.
With Polly Perrette from NCIS.
Not that any of you care about this shit, but the point was is that I will say this. EW did write by fans, because it was a pretty good shindig, and they actually had some good swag for fans. So.
Yeah, they really did. It was nice. I got my Survivor buff, rocking that. I mean, it's in the bag still, but whatever.
Mona's been wearing hers.
Then we went to the Andaz for a little rooftop party. And this is where the evening really takes a turn for the interesting.
For Amory.
We'll all be the judge of that.
Right. We get in there. There was like a million people up there. I'm not exaggerating. It was so many people. So we finally got our drinks.
A small space. I mean, they actually had a huge space up there, but for some reason they weren't using all of that space.
Right. So Ray and I were drinking a little bit. I was drinking a little bit more. And we got to see Bags. Hey, Bags and Sean. And there was a pool.
Rosie.
And Rosie, yes. There was a pool and I was very concerned. Walking around the pool would be the death of me. I was in flip-flops, I think, so it's not like I was going to...
The dessert table was on the opposite side of the pool, so Amory had to walk around the pool to get to the dessert table.
It was very, very dangerous. I feel like I took the biggest loop around the corner of the pool because I just felt like at any minute I could just go in. I was going to be in the pool. It was going to be horrible. I was going to be that person who got drunk and fell into the pool at a rooftop party from Showtime. Anyway... Luckily, it didn't happen, but I did have the most amazing pecan tossies ever. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Mrs. Sibuck. Theirs were better. And then, as we were getting ready to leave, I was leaning against someone. And I turned to my right, and it's a little bit of Daniel Day Kim, Jin, Hawaii Five-0, two separate shows. And so I was like, you know what? I hate crowds. But I'm going to stand here for a minute. I'm okay touching this person because it's Daniel Day Kim.
I think what's missing from the story is about how you were cursing people all night long for touching you.
I was. I was so sick of people like running into me, touching up on me because there was too many people at this party. And then I'm like, you know what, Ray? I'm good here. I'm fine.
Yes, I was thinking to myself as we were standing there waiting to get through and somebody was talking to me. Rosie was introducing me to somebody important.
Dexter, right?
Meanwhile, Daniel Day Kim, later on,
the show
is cursing
the crazy person who wouldn't leave him alone.
Wouldn't stop touching him.
Oh, I know. It wasn't like I was groping him or anything. We were just standing back to back.
No, she was like back to back. Like they weren't like, in a crowd. You know, there's somebody behind you. I apologize for the ringing phone, but It's not my phone.
We're talking over it. It's fine. Talk through it.
Anyway, so the point was is that early, I was thinking, standing there thinking to myself, Amber's being awfully quiet despite the crowd around her.
And it's important to point out that Ray doesn't know what anybody looks like or who anybody is. Or even if she's watched the show for years, she has no idea. So for all she knew, I was just standing against some guy with long, flowy, curly-ish black hair.
Yes, I want...
I knew that he was up there, for the record.
She didn't
I want
know
an app
that.
For that. They have apps where you can have it listen to a song, and it'll tell you who's playing it, and you can take a picture of a book, and it'll tell you all about it. I want an app that you can take a picture of a famous person, or and IMDb
but
comes back and tells you who this is, and...
That would require you to even realize that the person standing there is somebody famous, and I don't even have that. Like, I literally walk by somebody, I'm like, oh, is that person famous? Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
Well, I had that where you see somebody, and they look familiar, but you can't place it. But since where you're at, you figure you know them from a TV show or something. And I wanted to be able to, like, snap a picture and then have it
pop
up their IMDb profile.
So that I can identify you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, that's also why I want to zoom on my camera phone, is so I could get a picture from distance.
From far away.
Right. So
that's
that
like
was
the person who was coming out of the Hard Rock, and I had no idea who it was.
Who was it?
Whatever.
Oh, the guy who got
know.
In the
we
red
still don't
car.
Know
we don't know. Ah!
Anyway.
Jason, what did you do Thursday?
Thursday? Oh, I did the panels and stuff that I went to. I don't think I did anything Thursday night. I had the anti-night from your night. I went back and, like, worked on the computer a little bit and watched Burn Notice and Royal Pains. Mm. And then went and got something to eat someplace. I don't know. Sort of
did
like...
Did we go to Cafe Diem that night?
We did go to Cafe Diem after
we did
we
go to Cafe Diem that you. Night. Oh, it was another drunken experience at
PSB.
Cafe Diem. I noticed Eric freaking Balfour's picture across the restaurant. I was intently staring, like I couldn't stop. Anyway,
okay, let me clarify, because it's not like a small picture that she's staring.
It's not.
They had like each of the show's characters up on the wall, big and huge. So,
yep.
I believe the conversation was about how awesome it would be if Eric Balfour came into the restaurant and sat at that booth where he was.
Right, which is a preview of our
booth.
That's a preview of the next conversation, too. So then, that's Thursday. We had a great time. Friday. What did everybody do Friday? I'll tell you what I did. I got up at the ass crack of dawn to go over with my CBS confirmation in my hand to say I was going to the Hawaii 5-0 press room. When I get there, you're not on the list. Rude lady at the door said to me, you're not on the list. So I turned on a heel, flipped. Oh, I didn't flip her off because that would have been terrible, but I felt like I wanted to flip her off. And then I just walked away, angrily huffing and puffing.
Yeah, that was... I was in the Hawaii 5-0 press room, which was at 9 o'clock in the morning when nothing really starts until 10. And it was... That was sort of weird.
That was plus, that day, wasn't it?
Plus, it was only a half hour for the press room. And so by the time they actually sort of got started and then were wrapping it up because they're... It wasn't like it was... butting right up against when they needed to be, you know, for their panel. Their panel wasn't till like 10:45 or 10:30 or something. And so it was kind of strange. And then there was a ton of people in there. I mean, it was very packed because it was in one of the smaller...
Not Amory.
Not me.
One of their smaller rooms, but it was... There was a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, were there a lot of people? Just teasing you.
There was.
Well, I had already touched Daniel Day Kim the previous night, so it was fun.
I went to the Scott Pilgrim experience, which was pretty damn fun. Not only did you get to make a free t-shirt, which was awesome, and I mean like make it like you got to pick out the design and watch them silk screen it in front of you.
Where's Sex Bomb?
Yeah, that's what I got on my shirt, if you can't tell. And then Sunil and I made a flip book.
Amazing. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Like, they filmed you for, like, 7 seconds. Like, you could do whatever you wanted to do for 7 seconds, and we did a pretend fight, a mock fight. And then they made a flipbook out of it. So now Sunil and I both have a little flipbook that is us fighting with, like, the comic book background or whatever. So that was kind of fun. And then I made a – which most of you have probably seen if you follow me on Facebook. I made a little Facebook video that bragged about me being there and you not.
Yes. And then we did, so that was, then we did what? The Big Bang Theory?
I didn't get into that room. Oh, you're talking about the press room.
Yeah.
We didn't do the panel then attempted to get into Beall Room 20.
Beall Room 20.
The line was ridiculous when I got upstairs, and then I was debating what to do, and I decided to get in line, and I would wait for Sunil, who writes for my site, by the way. So I was like, I will wait for Sunil until 1 when he was done with his other stuff, and we'll see where the line stood. Well, I went to get in line and closed the line. Closed it, people. Not even the room. They closed the line. So there went my plans for the day. I was a little disappointed since I did not, that meant I did not get to see Joss Whedon later. So.
Right. But from what we hear, the panel was pretty awesome. I didn't go. For the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
So we did the Big Bang Theory press room. That was fun. Those people are really nice. I like them all. Yeah. I really do. I really like every single person involved in that show. And didn't really learn much because they didn't really know much.
Yeah, they hadn't started filming it, which happens every year at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Oh, my God, you guys. My boyfriend, Chris Vance.
Yes?
You don't watch Dexter, do you, Ray? Because he's joining the cast.
I don't watch Dexter, which, thank you for waiting until I answer myself.
She gave you a half a second. Come on, you gotta speed it up.
He's joining the cast of Dexter. So then we did the Big Bang Theory press. What was after that? Oh, we had Caprica. Was Caprica before Big Bang Theory? It was, because we had to move tables. Anyway, I did SGU press.
I'm sure everybody loves hearing about that part.
Yeah, go SGU, ahead. And then Caprica, and then Big Bang. So got to talk to Elena Huffman and my favorite person in the world, David Blue, and take that however you want to take it. And then Robert Cooper, Ron Moore from Caprica, Sasha Royes was there. Alessandra was adorable. She was like, I know you. It was awesome. And then James Marsters.
Spike.
Was there.
He looked very Spike-like, though. So.
He was very nice. Very animated. Very funny guy. Didn't learn anything there, either. So. But I got some pictures. So after that, what did I do? After Big Bang Theory.
What did you do, Jason? I didn't do anything after those two.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember what I did on Friday.
I can't remember.
Back to the hotel. Got ready for my evening activities.
Oh, man.
I had.
What an evening it was.
I mean, I had a full day from once I got to the... I mean, I did Hawaii Five-O press room. I went to the Hawaii Five-O panel. Well, I think that might have been the... Was that the day that the Walking Dead panel? That might have been what...
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the Walking Dead panel was after that. That actually...
How was that? I heard lots of good things about it. Was it good? The panel, I mean.
The panel was good, and the little bit of, you know, the sort of sizzle reel that they showed, it looks really good. I mean, the show itself. I mean, I don't have any attachment to the comic that it's being adapted from, but for a TV show about zombies, it looks it looks really good. And then, trying to remember what else I did that day. I mean,
I've just confirmed that I did nothing. We must have just gone back to the hotel.
Okay.
To get ready for the day.
I had stuff and
then,
all day that day.
Then we went to an awesome party at the Omni. Nope. At the Hilton. At the Hilton. It was on the roof deck. And, okay, so let me set the scene for you. Okay? We walk in through this awesome smoke machine. And I'm 5 feet tall, okay? We're with Kurt, who's like 6'5". Ray, who's taller than I am. Mark, who's taller than me. And I'm just standing there like, blah, 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 blah. Mark looks over and he's like, oh, the Bare Naked Ladies are performing. Like, I'm an idiot because I didn't see the sign.
They hadn't started performing.
No, I know. No, I knew that. But apparently the sign was hanging and I was supposed to see that when I walked in. Because I was very surprised. And Mark's like, well, the Bare Naked Ladies are playing. I was like, what? He's like, well, there's signs right there.
Well, to be fair, he actually said, oh, I wasn't supposed to tell you that.
Oh, that's true.
Sign was up there because we're all like, okay, but the sign is up there. So I think you're okay.
I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it over the crowd of people. Whatever. So that was quite awesome. Warner Brothers party was great. Great people. Bare Naked Ladies, Great Drinks.
Amory told Misha Collins that she was going to kill somebody.
Okay, let me set this scene, too, because I don't want people to think that I'm some crazy person that kills people. Okay.
Well, if the shoe fits.
If the shoe fits. So we walked over to Misha just to say, we really like you. And incidentally, my best friend David Blue standing behind us. Weird. So we're talking to Misha. Misha Collins is the most sarcastic person I think I've ever met. And
she's
I am
hilarious.
Very sarcastic. It's hilarious. So we're having this conversation and Ray's just kind of watching me and Misha have this conversation where I'm like, how's Comic-Con? Oh, it's great. There's like nobody here. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have to wait in line. Nobody touches you. It's fine. You can get in right away. And like, this is going back and forth. And I was like, but I might kill someone. Incidentally, the next day there was a stabbing. I was quick to point out that it wasn't me. Who else did we talk to?
I ended up talking to Misha Collins for a while.
I know,
along with David Blue.
Logan.
And for a show that I don't even watch, you know, or whatever. But he was, like I said, he was hilarious, though. I mean,
he's awesome. He's the coolest guy. I love him. I love Misha Collins.
Yeah, and the Bare Naked Ladies were good. And
oh, they were so good, you guys. They were so good. It reawakened my love for the Bare Naked Ladies.
Speaking
you
of funny, they were funny.
They were funny. And then I saw them a week later for free again because I love them so much. I would have paid, but I got a free ticket. Oh, so good. What else? Oh, I met Logan Huffman from V. Logan Huffman, hello. Oh, he's not listening. Whatever. He might. He's a good guy.
Well, at least not right now, he's not.
We were fast friends. What a great guy. What a great fella.
Because you hung out all night.
We did. We hung out all night. And at least that's what we remember. I don't really know. I was drinking a lot. Then we left that party. Well, me and Ray did, and Kurt, to go to the NBC party.
Hold on.
Ray left the party.
Yeah.
Amory left the party like three times. I saw her like three more times.
I did leave the party like three times. It's true.
I said, I thought you were leaving. I am. I just had to. You're not gone yet?
I know. I had a variety of things to handle before I left. Then we walked over to the other party with my best friend Logan and went into the NBC party. The cast of Community was there. The cast of Chuck was there. I met Chevy Chase and he was not nice. And so then I let people know that we're interested, that he's not nice. And
he wasn't mean either.
He wasn't warm and like inviting to people, to meeting people. Had a drink there because, you know, I had to. It was free.
Those drinks put me over the top because I was really drunk when I was at that
I was really happy, and it's going to sound like I really am an alcoholic and I need alcoholic friends, but I was really happy that Ray drank like I drank. Not like I drank, but, you know, to get drunk like I was drinking. No, we weren't drinking to get drunk, but you know what I mean. I was happy that neither of us
That just was
drive.
The end result.
Neither of us had to drive anywhere. We got to walk sloppily down the street because we were drinking.
In that case, we just went down the elevator.
Yeah.
Which is kind of awesome. Thank God.
But then we still weren't done. Janie and Will, where are you at?
Oh, that's right. We walked up to where the Chuck tweet up had happened.
Had been. And then we got kicked off of a couch.
It still happened. Yeah. We got kicked off of a couch.
And then we went to the Cafe DM with Janie and Will. Janie's the TV cricket on Twitter. Love her. She just got a job in D.C., so she's closer, so that's fun. And then I yelled for Eric Balfour.
She did.
He wasn't there, but I yelled for him anyway. And that was my Friday.
All right. Do you have more to add to that, Jason?
No, I stayed at the Warner Brothers party. You guys left. That was the time. That was when I was talking with Misha Collins and David Blue and... And also Corby and...
oh, my God, Maggie Q. Sorry.
Oh, Maggie Q! I loved her!
Corby was at the Warner Brothers party? I guess she came after because I didn't see her.
But we were just standing there and Kurt yells, Maggie! To Maggie Q. Like, we're old friends. Whatever. She was great, though. She then acted like we're old friends. Like, oh, yeah, she offered to get us drinks.
That was
hysterical. Are you guys okay?
You drink anything?
I'm like, no.
Thanks, Maggie. You don't need to get me a drink.
After Ray left, I actually talked to Nick Kroll and Lake Bell from Children's Hospital. They were very nice. We kind of waved and said hi to Rob Corddry on our way out. And then that was really the end of Friday.
This is
taking forever.
Okay, so Saturday.
What did I do Saturday? Saturday, I got up really early, but then I fell back to sleep because I had only been asleep for 3 hours. So I didn't go to the Chuck panel. I just went to the Chuck press room and saw everybody, and it was a cluster F. And actually, we were there in the press room really early, so we did get to chat with some people for a while, me and Kurt. Then that happened. And then we didn't learn anything there, except we learned about who was playing the mother, but that was really given away at the panel.
Osceola.
Yeah. And then I went to the event press room and got to meet some cool peeps. Didn't get to talk to Jason Ritter because I wanted to, and I almost said John Ritter, and then I was like, oh my god, that wouldn't have happened.
Alright.
Unless I was ghost hunting. And then I didn't really have anything to do, so I went to my first panel of the weekend. I went to the V panel.
That was your first and only?
They went to V. Then I went to
I know why she went to that one, because she had a pass for it.
I had a pass, whatever. I wanted to see Jace. It was nice to see, you know, I love the cast of that. I don't know I love the show, but I love the cast. So then we went to the press room, basically just to say hi to Logan. And then we did the Nikita press room. I was going to go to the Vampire Diaries press room, but I was exhausted, so I didn't. And that was my Saturday. And I really like Maggie Q a lot.
My Saturday was Chuck panel, which was good, but they started 10 minutes late, so they ended up not being able to do any questions.
This is what I'll tell you about the Chuck panel.
At the
end. It was not worth getting up as early as I got up to go to it.
Yeah, because nothing ended up really happening, especially since they started so late. Because part of the fun of actually those type of panels is with the type of people, Zachary Levi and Adam Baldwin and such, they're really good with the fans that ask questions and stuff like that. And so some of the fun of the panels, of those panels, are that. And they started so late that they kicked him out. And why they scheduled Chuck for only a 45-minute panel, I have no idea anyways.
It was because they, in order to do their press room and to do the signing downstairs.
Yeah.
That was what it was about, for the record.
It was kind of
poor planning.
But then I did the event panel where they screened the episode and or the pilot. And then I did the press room after. And then I went to the Teching Out on TV press room, which was Polly Perrette from NCIS and Kirsten Vagnus from Criminal Minds and the guy that created CSI, the CSI shows. And, that was actually probably my favorite kind of press room because it was not one of those that everybody was clamoring to be in. So there was only like three tables and a few video, so it was... It was relatively quiet in there. It wasn't just tons of background noise from so many things happening. And you actually got 10 minutes or so with each of the... And then each of them themselves were all really... They're all very animated and very fun to talk to. And then I did the panel for that afterwards, which you gotta love when the Teching Out on TV panel has technical difficulties and isn't able to show some of the video and stuff like that that they wanted to do. And then I did the V press room, community press room. That was my day where I went from the V press room, you know, in the convention center to the Hilton Bayfront for the community press center, all the way back to the convention center, but to the far side of the convention center to room two or whatever for the Warehouse 13 and Eureka press rooms. And if you would have saw me from there, you would have seen me walking really fast from the Hilton Bayfront all the way to the other side of the convention center with my netbook out in front of me and my flip video camera plugged into it, downloading the videos off of it so that I would have it to be able to use. It took about that long. It just finished just as I was getting into, which I was about 15 minutes late for, but... And that's when... Hi, Chrissy. Chrissy from New Media Strategy saw me and was like...
Chrissy!
She was like...
The voice of the internet, I miss her!
She was like, you look... you look a little frazzled, you know? But yeah.
Oh, Chrissy.
See?
That was my Saturday.
Saturday, then I was too tired. Then we went and had Mexican food. Then we went and drank a lot. Again. What up, voice of the internet? And Danny and Meg and Sean and Bags. Sean and Bags. Oh, man. And then our amazing script that we wrote, the seven of us, or however many of us there was, about a horror movie. It was amazing. We were drinking, whatever. And then Meg had to get a flight like 4 hours later. Whatever. She was going to stay up all night. So kudos to her.
She said she made it. So
she did make it. She did make it to her flight. So good for her. And then Sunday. Supernatural press room was the first thing I did, right? Yes, I think.
Yes.
And, oh my God, I love everybody involved in that show. I love them. I love them all. All of them. And do I love them? Yes, I do. And then from there, I didn't go to the panel. I'm sorry, Holly. I went to the Castle press room. And, would you know it, I love everybody there. Everybody. And then from there,
everybody?
I went and did everybody. And then I went and did especially Seamus Dever. Hello. Then I did Sons of Anarchy press room and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia press room was like a press conference. And then if you wanted one-on-ones, you could have one-on-ones. But I was too busy ogling Katie Seagal and Charlie Hunnam that I was not even thinking about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Then I went and met Charlie Day and was like, hey, nice to meet you. And he was like, hey, nice to meet you. And it was awesome. And that was my Sunday. And that was the end of my Comic-Con.
Yes, Sunday for me was Castle panel, which anytime you have something like that with Nathan Fillion on there, he's just funny. So, and he was really, really good with the giving out just like strange and wacky gifts to people that ask questions or that were wearing double rainbow t-shirts or whatever it was that he liked about what they said or did. And then went to the Castle press room after. And then went to the Glee press room, which was ridiculous in that they did one of those press conference style, not round tables like the rest of everybody else was doing. And but they scheduled the press room for, you know, like they tell you that it starts at such and such a time, but it turns out that's when they were sending them down the video line in another room. And then so like everybody that was there for the print interviews and whatnot were just sitting around for like a half an hour waiting, and then they brought him in and it was like 18 minutes, you know, press conference, but there was like 9 or 10 of them squished up on this little thing, and most of the questions went to or ended up being directed to the creator, or it became one of those questions when they asked one person, then it was like, and what about everybody else? And so everybody, and it was not one of the I have to say, Fox sucks. They didn't do very well, because the day before with the Bones press room was pretty bad as well. But then I ended the day with the Sons of Anarchy press room, which, as Amory can contest, was everybody was standing around
doing nothing,
wondering if it was actually going to happen, or what room it was going to be in, because there was There was no press representative there from FX forever before anybody figured out what was going on. So that was Sunday. I mean, once we finally got to talk to them, they were great to talk to.
Yeah, they had a lot to say, and they were wonderful, and Kurt Sutter is so awesome, and Ron Perlman is so imposing and scary and amazing.
Yeah,
and he sat down, and he was awesome, and I was just like, how's your Comic-Con? And he throws his cigar on the table. He's like, it's been fine. Then he picks up my phone. Oh, what application are you using to record this? That was awesome. It was amazing. But yeah, it was quite a day.
Speaking of iPhones and recording stuff, I think it was the Eureka Warehouse 13. Colin Ferguson, we were at the table with Colin Ferguson, and somebody was using their phone to record, and it buzzed. And he looked down and goes, yeah, he'll meet you back at the hotel in about a half an hour. Whoever was recording had gotten a text message. And he just stopped in the middle of it and read it.
I love Colin Ferguson so much. Ray, what did you do Sunday? You did Supernatural, you did Castle. Oh, Ray, tell your story.
What story?
You had a love connection with Nathan Fillion.
Okay. Yes, of course. You know, he met my eyes for a couple of seconds across the table.
He totally did. He held her eye contact for longer than a half a second. It was awesome.
We had a meet cute. No.
You had a meet cute,
I think that was all I did, actually, because apparently I gone to the FX press rooms, but I went back to the hotel and had some lunch, enjoyed my lunch on the patio with a glass of wine.
You drinking?
Because I hadn't had enough to drink the rest of the weekend.
Right.
I wish there would have been a camera on me in the castle press room, because at one point, Stana Kotick looked at me and said, "Are you all right?" Right in the middle, and I was like, "I'm fine, thanks."
Are you all right?
I want to know what the hell I look like. She stopped in the middle of it.
I love it.
After 4 days of Comic-Con, I want to know what exactly I look like on Sunday morning that she stopped in the middle to ask me if I was okay.
So Comic-Con was over on Sunday, and my drinking did not stop, just for the record. I then had champagne at my aunt's house, and the next night we had margaritas with my cousins. So I succeeded in my quest to have drinks every night I was there, and I only paid for one night. So kudos to me. So that's Comic-Con 2010, and we've now beat a dead horse
over Comic-Con.
I hate Comic-Con now. So the next thing on our list here is set visits. I didn't do any this summer because I don't have a passport.
Because you're weak. You need to get a passport.
Yeah. I have 4 months Everybody to get a passport. It'll happen.
You better. I guess I did the first one. Jody and I went to the set of Covert Affairs.
Did we talk about this already? No.
I think we may have mentioned it a little bit. I think we still recorded
an episode. I think we did, because that was at the beginning of the summer. So whatever. I had dinner with Chris Gore.
So whatever.
But this is what we did this summer, so you can recap stuff that we've already talked about.
I don't really need to recap it.
No, I'm fine.
If you guys already know what happened, we went to set up Covert Affairs. It was fun. I think the episode that they were filming while we were there, we didn't really see anything filmed, but I think the episode that they were filming is next week's episode. This upcoming week's episode, not next week.
Right.
Because it happens, there was a scene, they were filming a scene outside of a senator's office, and it's the senator from Florida. I remember that, because I'm from Florida. In case you were curious. All right, that was it. We had fun. Let's talk about the other side.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about the other one, because I was there.
It's all about Jason.
Well, usually it's all about Amory, but...
Hey!
I'm just going to smack you.
Just because I talk a lot does not mean anything.
Okay. So anyways, Ray and I visited the set of Psych, and then also USA Network's upcoming Facing Kate.
Let's just get it out of the way now. We can't really talk about Facing Kate.
Until they have a premiere date, which nobody knows when that will be. It'll be either late fall or mid-season January. We can't really say... anything about
we met my let me it. All I mean, we can say
who,
is that
I mean we can say who
Michael
we met Turco and whatnot
is a really good looking man.
I know. Is he? Oh my god, is he even hotter in person? Because I love him.
First of all, he's clearly aware of his looks, because there was no need for him to come to the interview with his shirt like halfway unbuttoned.
No way. No, he didn't. Oh yes, my god, did. I love him
like unbuttoned so that you could see his chest, kind of unbuttoned.
Aww.
I was like, really?
Yeah, and he was, yeah, because he wasn't like...
He wasn't filming.
Yeah, he wasn't filming that day, so that was how he came
in. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe now that, in this show, he wears suits a lot, so maybe now he just, when he's not filming, he needs to be unconstricted.
I guess.
Whatever it was, but he's a good-looking man, and he smells nice. Like, I literally wrote on my notes.
Oh, and he smells nice. Love you, Chucko.
I didn't even get close enough to him to really smell him. I just was sitting across the table and I could smell him.
So he cologne bombed himself before he came in, too? Is that what you're saying?
He wasn't,
but
like,
apparently not in a bad way, because all the ladies in the room all commented on how great he smelled. So
love it.
Like, it wasn't it wasn't an overpowering. I just could smell it.
So wait.
And to place that, though, not a guy in the room recognized anything or noticed anything. So there you go.
Whatever.
All right. So what happened on the psych
set? There was at least one guy who noticed, but anyway.
So the day before,
I just wanted
to
get Facing Kate out of the way, because we can't talk.
Right.
About
no. Then I said, what happened on the psych?
We got to watch them filming a scene, which is I love personally, because I love that part of the.
Yeah, that was great. The last set visit for psych, we were supposed to, but it didn't work out because they wrapped before we were going to be able to get there, and so this time we actually got to see them film two different scenes, and.
Yep.
The first one obviously will be, I won't say why, but will obviously be really good once people get to see it. We were watching the mid-season finale being filmed. Wasn't it? Or was the next week going to be the mid-season finale?
No, no, the next week was going to be the Christmas one.
Yeah, so yeah, so we were watching the mid-season finale being filmed, and then the second scene I liked watching because it was one of those that could possibly end up on a blooper reel.
It took them a while to get that other view done because they had to keep restarting.
But that was
Tim Olmanson had screwed up something, and then then C. Thomas Howell couldn't get it right after that.
It was funny because they were basically thought they were done, and then somebody was like, "No, he switched the words.
He said the word wrong.
He said scans when you beep it instead of beeps when you scan it." And so they had to go back and redo it. And then when they were redoing it, he said it correctly, but thought he said it wrong, so he stopped and was like, "Oh man, I messed that up." And they're like, "No, you said it right." And he was like, "Oh well, now I've messed it up." And so they had to start again. And so by the time they finished all that and they actually got through that, C. Thomas Howell had the next line. And by the time all that had happened, it messed him up. And he kept slipping up on, like, the word decisions or something like that, where he couldn't...
Choices and decisions. Like, he kept mixing up. And then he could. Then he would, like, slur it together because he couldn't... Whatever.
And pretty soon he was just like, "Okay, stop. I need a second, you know." And then he was...
He had to walk away for a minute.
And then he literally was pacing back and forth for about 30 seconds going, "Life decisions, life decisions, life decisions." So that he could get it right. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I like watching that stuff behind, sort of seeing the behind the camera stuff.
Steve wasn't there, was he?
No, it was Andy and Todd were the writers. Saladin was in Vancouver, so we did get to speak to him instead of Andy, but Steve was not there, sadly.
Love the Steve.
And then James was actually busy writing the Christmas episode, so we didn't get a lot of time with him, and all of his time on the set, he literally would, like, do a scene and then run back to his laptop. And I mean that literally.
Yeah.
And he would do. Like, the entire time they were filming that other scene where they kept screwing up, he was on his laptop because, like, he's in the scene. He's quote-unquote in the scene. But in what the view we were seeing, he and Dulé are standing, like, right on the outside of the scene there. So they didn't even have him come up while they filmed that other view of the scene because he was writing. Like, he was trying to get that Christmas episode done. So.
Cool. So that's psych. Anyway,
so it was fun. I enjoyed myself. I love those. I think I told Amory this already, but I love that Mel Danski came up to me and it was like, "Hi, you were here last time, weren't you?" Like, it's like two years ago. Yeah. I'm like, and it's not like, it's not as impressive when it's like Dulé said the same thing to me, but Dulé, and I don't mean this like Dulé sees me all the time, but like Dulé sees me at Comic-Con. So like, I'm sure that in the back of their heads, they recognize not necessarily who you are, but they kind of like recognize your face because they see you enough times, right? But like Mel Damsky's like seen me once 2 years ago for an hour.
So like, that happened to me and Alfredo Barrios at Comic-Con.
Same thing.
Yeah.
But the other thing I really like about the way they do the set visits for like the USA set visits that I've been on is, although they tend to be a little bit smaller with the number of people, that are, press or bloggers and whatnot that are there. So they do sort of like larger round tables, but you get like, I think I said this, Ray, I think the shortest period of time we got with any one person over the 2 days was like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we got like 15 minutes to like a half an hour of talking with, which is pretty good when there was like 18 people the first day and like 13 people the second day or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions and stuff that get in there. And so that, I like that. It's sort of like a similar experience to a lot of the press rooms at Comic-Con, except expanded out where you actually get an extended period of time, which is really good.
Cool.
Well, hopefully soon we'll get the pictures and the transcripts and we'll be able to share all this stuff with you. And you'll be able to see and read more about it. But you mentioned you guys creating a horror show at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yes, it was an amazing movie.
Ray and I and Angela, the sci-fi chick, created our own show over pizza.
We did, that's right.
on the Tuesday night after the Face and Kate set visit. That was about surfing Surfing Vampires.
Mm.
Alex O'Loughlin.
That starred Alex O'Loughlin. It was Surfing Vampire
Doctor.
We wanted
to combine all of Alex O'Loughlin. Yeah. He's a surgeon, for the record,
yeah, it was
as well.
It was a surfing...
Surgeon Vampire.
Surgeon Vampire that we came up with that would...
Who lives in Hawaii, obviously.
Yeah. In case Hawaii 5-0 were not to make it, we came up with an idea that combined all his previous works.
It's a surefire hit, CBS.
That would, the fourth time would definitely be the charm. But yeah.
I believe there was some discussion about how he would actually be biting people, but then pretending that they were bitten by sharks and saving them out in the ocean.
And like then having to perform surgery to save them and... yeah, we had to.
And the angst.
You know what?
If
he took his shirt off, people would just. They wouldn't care what the hell it was about.
That was why he had to be a surfing vampire, so he could take his shirt off and be outside surfing.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, so we combined in a few other elements of other vampire type shows so that he would be a vampire that could be out in the sun.
Oh, outside, you know, right.
He was gonna
also proposed that, yes, exactly, he has a ring.
He was going to have a Vampire Diaries type ring. He wasn't going to sparkle or anything, so just so you don't worry.
I said the Salvador brothers can come visit him in Hawaii.
Okay, I think
CBS,
this has gone
CW,
on long enough.
All right, anyway.
Anyway. By the time, it was awesome.
I think we were a little tired, if you couldn't tell.
Yes, that...
A little exhausted from our day.
That was...
Kate.
Yes, and that was non-alcohol induced.
Yes, all right.
So I'm not sure whether that's a good or a bad thing. That should tell you how tired we were after the 2 days.
Okay.
All right. So
we don't have enough time.
All right, so...
What do I talk about now?
I think we should just jump across and talk about some of the shows...
Somebody asked about what we were thinking about the Glades and something else. Hold on.
I haven't watched the Glades. I really haven't watched much of anything. The only USA shows I'm completely caught up on are Psych and White Collar. And I'm caught up on Eureka, Haven, and Warehouse 13. And
oh, Covert
Affairs,
that's what she asked about.
It.
Patty asked about those.
I want to say that, like, for the summer, well, there's always shows like The Closer and stuff like that that they're sort of like, to me, they're always good that you don't really, that I sort of, like, forget to mention them because they're sort of just there. But for the most part, this summer, Psych, Warehouse 13, and Eureka have just been, I think they've all just been outstanding in their own way for what they... You know, for what they do. I think Eureka's switch up has been really good. I think Warehouse 13 has really gelled together, that their comic timing and stuff like that, I think, is really good for the episodes. And they're just fun to watch. And then Psych, I think, has just been on fire this whole season. I've laughed more.
Yeah.
These episodes have just been hilarious. Like in the last episode... In the last episode, when Lassiter says, "I've heard it both ways,"
that was hysterical.
I about fell out of my chair laughing at that. That was set up so well, and then to have him do a Sean line was just
yeah.
An example.
I think that
they've
the show
just been so on fire. This
the season has been great. I'm loving everything.
But as for other stuff, like new stuff, like the Glades and Covert Affairs, I like. I really like the Glades. I don't know. I just like. That character.
I heard that a lot of people like it. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but...
I find it enjoyable. As we all probably know by now, I have some issues.
Right.
And I don't mean to be that... I mean, I know they're filming here, so, like, I don't have the usual issues. Like, they're handling Florida stuff just... It's fine. They literally seem to be all over the eastern coast of Florida. Like, this week, the girl was going to school at UCF, which, by the way, happens to be where I work. And where I went to school. So I'm very familiar with it. Clearly she was going to some East Coast campus. We do have one. Because then the person was working at NASA. But I just want you to know that neither of those places are anywhere close to, quote unquote, the Glades. So, or like last week or one other week when they were doing the surfing thing, like the girl was doing something in the Sebastian Inlet, which again is nowhere near close to the Glades themselves. So it's like a weird... I can't quite figure out where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, they've sort of been able to, they can do sort of a bigger thing because they're the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, so they're not mm-hmm. necessarily tied to a specific, like, city or county. So they...
He seems to be serving one town. Like,
well, he kind of is in an area, but I mean, for
also for what it's worth, never mind.
But they kind of can do that a little bit with how they've named.
I guess I understand that, but here's the problem.
Well, I understand really, too
when
that
it comes
you
to
can
me
have
is that I actually work with those departments. Like, I literally do actual work with those departments. So. So I kind of know it's not really true. So, like, it's just one of those things where it's unique to me that it would be an issue that I would have. So, and I know that. So I'm not, like, blaming the show for it or anything. It just drives me crazy when I'm watching the show and I'm like, how are they, like, down south last week this week they're up here near us? Like, what's going on? And, like, it's not like he says, I'm driving for everywhere for a long time to get somewhere. You know what I mean? Like,
he's just there.
Getting back and forth from the office to where he needs to be to talk to the professor at UCF. So I'm just like, all right, whatever. Doesn't really matter. It's just funny. Unique problem to me. But
it's on my list to get caught up on.
Well, right. I've really been enjoying it. I just like the lead character. I mean, I've said that before. That type of character is my favorite type of characters, the type of characters that I'm drawn to on TV. So, but yeah, I think I mentioned that to you while we were up on the set visit or that night when we were talking and over dinner. Was they used to do that on the show I can think of, that John Doe, the old Fox show that lasted one season, was filmed. It was filmed in Vancouver, but it was set in Seattle. And that stuff used to bother me. They would be going to places that existed and or names of towns or places, but they were too far away to be able to actually do it in the way they were, you know. You couldn't go there and back and then do three other things also in that day. You know, it's like, and so, yeah, that type of stuff is when you're from an area where a show is set and then you see stuff, you're just like, okay, that's
people have noted, by the way, of seeing this about the other summer show that Patty wanted to ask us about, which is Covert Affairs. The DC locals have all been like, no, that's not what it was. Yeah. So I think it's just, it just happens when it happens to be set where you live.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right.
I'm enjoying them all, so.
Cool. I have to get caught up because I haven't watched either of them. Technically, next on our list is other stuff, so I did want to add that I got to hang out with Adele. Snarky wench Adele. Love her. We had a great day in New York City, and we did all these touristy things, and we talked all day long, and she's awesome. And she's invited me to come to Australia. So maybe that's where I'll go.
You need that passport.
Except she'll be in Japan, so that won't really work. By my deadline, anyway. Anyway. So that's that. Oh, also, I do want to add, go see Scott Pilgrim and go see the other guys. That's all.
Okay, so now it's time for...
Prime time! Running together! We only have a couple things on the list here. Ray, you stopped watching So You Think You Can Dance, right?
Correct. I have nothing
to
say.
Lofro won. I liked her. I'm glad she won. It was nice to have Mary back. I want Tyce DiIorio to be cut indefinitely. I thought that the Twitch and Ellen dance was charming. It was nowhere near what the spectacle of the Twitch and Alex dance was. And that's all I'll say. And let's hope that it gets a little more, I don't know, not crappy next season when clearly they're still going to try and do the all-star thing. So that's that. And then last night, the Next Food Network star picked a winner. I was happy with the winner. Jason, were you happy with the winner?
Yeah, I think I'd watched like the first half of the season and I'd missed like the last couple episodes while gone to set visits and whatnot. And so I hadn't seen until last night. I didn't even have any idea who the final three were.
Right.
And although I saw that one of them was your favorite.
Herb.
And no, I liked... I actually could see, you know, the little mini pilots that they shot. It's very interesting to see over the course of the series, you know, of the competition, how much the people changed and really got into what they, and finally came upon what they really wanted to do or what really worked for them. Mm-hmm. And I think any one of those were pretty good, but I think they picked the right I like the idea of her show of taking stuff that you, all different types of foods, and then adding in an Indian flavor, you know, or, you know, type of, it was different. And then she's very likable too. Once she finally,
she is very likable.
Once she finally got, for the most part, some confidence in that she could really do this, you know, she sort of became like the favorite. And as they said, that's the one thing about watching a show like that. You wish that you could taste the food too, not just see what they end up with and stuff like that. But they said that her food was always, whether she did good at the other stuff, her food was always amazing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think they picked the right person. It's also one of those, I think.
She's not like anybody else. That's the thing.
I think,
like,
that was the other thing, is she was also different enough in what she was doing. Although I think Herb's show, once what he finally hit on, sort of a healthy but also
sour, cooking with flavor.
But, you know, but healthy but also with his Cuban roots, that was I think that was also different, sort of different a little bit from but not as much. They have other Spanish, you know, Mexican, you know, that Southwest, or, you know, other types of stuff in that sort of that area. So I think hers was, I think that probably could have been the thing that put her over the top, is they were all really close, but she was the one that was different enough that actually could possibly add something to their lineup.
Right. So that's that.
And then you wanted to say something about Melissa and Joey.
Guys, Melissa and Joey starts this week, and I loved it. I know it's kind of cheesy, and I know it harkens back to like a TGIF era show, but a lot of people are saying it kind of relates to Who's the Boss, and I agree. And you know, I love my cousin Joey Lawrence. I love him dearly. So it's nice. It's nice to see him on a show with Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Clarissa Explains It All. You know, it's really cool, and I thought it was charming. And I know it's cheesy and over the top, but I think it would have been a perfect pairing with 10 Things I Hate About You. Just because it would be a nice hour, a nice relaxing hour of kind of...
Yeah, I think so too. Enough, at least. It would be that at least you'd have two different shows. Because they're going to do... This is going to be like... They're going to, what, play it for half an hour and then play it again?
Yeah.
And then in following weeks, what are they going to do? Play one episode and then a repeat of the previous episode? But following it, it doesn't make any sense to me. I have no idea how exactly they're scheduling that hour with a half-hour sitcom.
Right. I just know that I think they have great chemistry. You can tell that they've been friends for years. I mean, they've been friends for like 25 years. They're lovely people.
Well, I said this on Twitter. I think it only kind of works because of your possible attachment to them from their previous shows.
Right.
Sort of childhood memories or whatever of you sort of grew up at the same time as them, watching them on TV. Overall, it's Who's the Boss with slightly different character backgrounds and not necessarily as good, but I think it will probably work decently. Although, when you have this half-hour sitcom that hangs out there by itself, it seems really weird to me.
Right. No, I'm with you.
So I don't know how that'll play out, but we'll see how it goes. And then you wanted to say something about Weeds?
Well, yeah. So Weeds season 5 was just an incredible downer, and I was so over the show, but then I really liked the season premiere. Ray, I know you kind of agree with me.
About last season? Yes, I do.
Yes. And I saw what you posted on Twitter today.
It was laugh out loud funny.
Yes.
No doubt about it. The premiere, I mean. I am a little skeptical because I have real... I guess I can talk about it because by this time I feel...
Yeah, that's what...
I have real... issues with there being no fallout for Shane. Like, I have real issues with that, like that it be treated like it's okay what he did. And I will say, in this first episode, they didn't act like that. Like, they all acted like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? But, and I'm okay with the way it played out in this episode. I'm just a little skeptical about how it will continue to play out because of his history with these characters doing things and totally getting away with all the insanity, and they just do it for the excuse to make the show even wackier than it is, which I would be okay with as long as there were consequences, because I have to feel like they're, you know, I don't know what it is, but I guess I can't buy into it if I don't feel like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't buy into the fact that they'd have to run like they did if there didn't end up being consequences, like to show me that, yeah, they really did have to do that. So I'm not sure we'll see how it goes. Of course, for the most part, it looks like they're going to be running for nothing because it's going to be all covered up anyway. But
right, right.
But we'll I feel like there needs to be some fallout within the family for what Shane did, because I don't feel like they should just ignore what happened. Although I think it's kind of funny that they seem to be playing with that chemistry between her. What's the kid's name who plays Shane?
Shane?
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Gould?
Like, I feel like they're playing with that chemistry between her and him, because they've always kind of had like a weird relationship anyway.
Who, the mom?
Yeah.
Nancy and Shane?
Yeah. Well, I've heard stories about behind the scenes, like she doesn't always treat him the best. Not like in a bad way, like she treats him a bad way, like she holds a little distance or whatever. Anyway, I think they're kind of playing with that.
Interesting. And then I wanted to talk about The Big C, because that premieres tonight, and that's been out, the first episode's been out there for a while, but I've seen the first three episodes, and I love this.
I love it as well.
I think Laura Linney is one of my favorite people. In fact, last night I watched You Can Count on Me, just because she's in it, and I've seen it 10 times, I still watch it. I love her. And I think that she makes kind of a weaker cast stand out. Gabourey Sidibe, whatever it is. I don't think she's good, but I like their friendship.
I didn't have a problem with her.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem
and with I love Reed Scott. Love Reed Scott. So nice to see him.
Yeah, I really like the cast. And I think the show is really good. And I think it's the cast and mainly her. But since the show is about her, she's pretty much in every scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's what makes it work. She brings the you know, what's been written and everything to life in a very compelling and fun to watch way. For a situation that you've seen it 100 times, the idea of somebody getting that type of news that you have terminal cancer or some other type of major event like that that completely sort of shocks you out of your daily routines and things that you've always done to make you sort of reflect on your life. And that's, you know, that's not a new idea. Breaking Bad is a bizarre version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've taken that idea and her character, it totally makes it work. Even with the bizarreness of, like, not telling the family, that adds a sort of a, would that really happen? But it's what makes the show sort of go. Is watching her react and do things with the knowledge of she doesn't have a short time, like, you know, spending time with, you know, her brother or, you know, family or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
where it doesn't seem like a big deal, but to her it really is, because I completely forgot about it until I saw that it was going to be on, and then I had it, and I ended up watching all 3 episodes this morning,
because,
mm-hmm. like, once you watch the first one, you're like, oh, you sort of want to keep watching, so yeah, I think it's
great
really
stuff.
Good.
So yeah, so that's our show for this evening, because we've gone on for a really long time and my dinner at my mom's is cold because I haven't gone grocery shopping in like 6 weeks because I eat at my parents' every day. Oh well, my kitchen stays clean. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
You know, a little bonus episode, a little extra episode there since we've been gone so long. So that's
Yeah.
I hope that extra 30 minutes of this episode makes up for that. 8 weeks that we haven't recorded in, it seems like.
What am I to wake up suddenly and then?
All right. Enroll at the local if you'd college, like to comment on this podcast, which God knows, I don't know what there is for you to comment on, but.
Oh, come on. I had a lot to say.
Yeah. Amory's drinking.
I know, but we just talked about Amory's a lot drinking. Of what we did versus.
I don't like interventions. I don't support interventions for me.
Okay. Shh, don't tell her.
spoiler alert, that's what the next podcast is.
Amazing, would that be?
It's like How I Met Your Mother. Anyway, I forgot what I was saying. Oh, if you want to comment, you can do so at tvtimes3.com.
Fill it all out.
Jazz hands.
MC, clap your hands with a Z. If I had $1 million, broke into the old apartment.
Wow, Bill Prady.
This is where we used to live. Oh my God, I love them. I love them.
I know. What else? That's it, I guess. You can follow us on Twitter. Blah 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 blah. Leave us some feedback on iTunes.
I can't talk. This is where.
All right, our music today, when it wasn't provided by Amory covering and the Bare Naked Ladies.
I like that. Covering Bare Naked Ladies.
You shouldn't like that. You should feel the opposite. Whatever.
Whatever.
Our music was provided by iodapromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records.
That's it.
Is that.
All right, guys. All right.
I gotta
eat.
Cold food?
Yeah, cold meatball sandwiches. It's going to be gross. I mean, I can microwave cold food. But
unlike Amory, I have to cook my own damn food. So mine will be warm.
You know, I would cook my own food if I had to go grocery shopping, but my mom and dad get very upset when I don't come over.
Yeah. I wish I had that.
What
right.
a life I lead. Okay.
You wish your parents didn't get mad when you came over?
No, they didn't get mad when I didn't come over.
Like, I wish I had somebody who got mad when I didn't come over so that they could cook me food. That's what I'm saying. That would be awesome. All right. Goodbye, people.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.